It's another edition of the Fallscast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Columbus Falls, Ohio. Today, Sunday, April 16th, another hot, beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Love it.
But wait,
Love
snow
it.
Is around the corner.
Shut your hole.
No.
Shut it.
It's Ohio.
Yep. Shut it.
Went from sweaty balls to frozen balls.
Yeah.
Sweaty balls.
Coldy balls.
Chocolate sweaty frozen balls.
We're here with some of our favorite Fallscasters, including Mike.
Hello.
Suzanne.
Hello.
Jen.
Howdy doodly doo.
Steven.
Hello.
And myself, Bart. Cassie's
Bart.
Here
Hello.
Today.
Bart.
Boo, Kathy.
Oh, Kathy.
Kathy smells like cheese.
We miss you.
Yes.
Do we? I'm going to go punch
we
her.
Do. We
I'm
going
to go punch her. I'm going to knock on her door and punch her.
Like, I mean,
Kathy,
calm down.
You have to give him 5 minutes. He has to run over next door and do it.
Okay.
Yep.
He's going to ding dong ditch her.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
That would be
ding
funny.
Dong.
Punch the doorbell, Mike. Not
what,
the
what you should do. You should do it while she's on with us.
Yeah.
That oh, next podcast. It's going to happen now.
It's not working for some reason.
What the hell? Yeah.
That would be funny.
On this episode, we have the tale of two Danielles. Danielle Sawat from Shelf Life Bookstore.
Yay.
And Neil Welling from Columbus Falls Library. Ooh. To talk about the local Lit Fest that's happening in a couple weeks.
Yay!
Very cool.
And out of just journalistic integrity, I will say I do work at Columbus Falls Library. But
you
that
do?
Does not, but that what? Does not influence this interview in any way.
Not at all.
Really, no. Bart?
Very neutral and unbiased.
He's part of the machine.
It makes you appreciate what she's doing even more.
Yes. Be sure to check out our website where we've got new stuff popping up. And send us your feedback, what you think of the show and the newspaper. Even if maybe you'd like to help write for the paper.
Yes, please.
You could send those comments and interests to our Facebook page, whatever podcast catcher you use to review, or to our email. And what's that email?
Fallsfreepress@gmail.com.
Exactly. So if you're interested in joining this
motley crew.
What?
Yeah.
Like, watch it, Bart. How are you going to describe
cadre
us?
Cadre of.
all this cadre wonderful crew.
Fun people.
Volunteers.
We're fun.
Yes.
We're a lot of fun.
It's cacophony of, I don't know.
Chaotic thought. The cacophony.
Chaotic yes. Yes. Voices.
There you go.
Chaotic cacophony.
Ooh, I like there that.
Awesome band name.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have anything to talk about before we hop into a very long show?
No, let's just hop, hop, hop. We do have a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, speaking of hopping, I hope everyone's Easter was nice. My mom got little chocolate bunnies from Mally's that had pretzels in them. So, highly
ooh,
recommend.
Yummy.
I got a build-your-own chocolate bunny from IKEA.
Oh, what?
It was
awesome.
Just a recipe in a big pile of chocolate. Is that all?
It was three pieces that you had to assemble together.
Oh,
nice.
That's funny.
My way to the Buckeye State. Ohio, Ohio. Round on the end, high in the middle. Ohio, Ohio. Ohio, Ohio.
Ohio, Ohio.
Left my home in Timbuktu with my banjo on my knee.
Look at me, I'm Sandra D.
On our way to Ohio. Ohio, Ohio. Round on the end, high in the middle. Here's a riddle, what's round on the end and high in the middle.
So into the round table. B&K Ripbeer Stand is still standing strong, but under new management this season.
Yes.
Silver Lake resident Craig Cook recently purchased the restaurant when it went up for sale, opening back up at the beginning of this month. The previous staff have all remained, keeping the menu the same and keeping the way it's run.
That's good.
Continuing for another season.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. We wish Mr. Cook all the best.
Yeah.
Good luck. And I know that the fans on Cuyahoga Falls Talk of the Town will be satisfied by that news.
Mm-hmm.
They're always up in having a kerfuffle when things like that pop up.
Yeah, I was a bit worried when I saw the sign that, you know, it was for sale.
Yeah.
I'm glad it happened fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much success to him. Yay, small local business.
And they kept the staff, which is really nice. So people didn't lose their jobs.
And speaking of food, the Columbus Falls City School Board has rescinded their new measure concerning the school lunch policy that was just passed a month ago.
Easy come, easy go.
the new policy would have made it so that if a student's lunch account hit zero or negative balance, the school would attempt to contact the student's family about the debt, and then the student would still be given up to 6 more free lunches before not being served. The public took this differently and thought that they were just going to stop feeding students instead of reaching out for families that needed help. So they've gone back on all that.
Yeah, so just mixed messaging, and I'm glad that they did that. But hopefully, you know, folks that are able to pay will, and then, you know, the ones that need extra help can get qualified for the programs that give them the resources they need to feed their kids.
I guess what the threshold for the state or the federal government paying for the lunches through the for the whole school, because the whole school can qualify for free lunches if 40% of the student body is below the whatever poverty level they have determined is the limit.
The qualification for getting qualification, free lunches.
Yes, correct. And then the Cocoa Falls is like, what is they were like 25% or 30%. That's what they're at.
Yeah.
They would need to have the standards changed in order to.
And that's actually being worked on. The department, the United States Department of Agriculture, is considering lowering that provision to 25% next year.
Yeah, it's 40% now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because right now, Cocoa Falls would have to take it out of pocket, and it would come out of their budget, and obviously their budget is tight, like every year.
Yeah.
So
I think, was that the Inflation Reduction Act a part of that?
It was part of that, yes.
Yeah, so hopefully that legislation pushes through, and then all the Cuyahoga Falls kids can qualify for a free meals.
And I think that should be anyway. Schools should provide 100%. Free lunches. I mean, it just seems ridiculous that, you know, we don't.
We're talking about food deprivation.
Yeah,
there's a lot of kids. Yep. The only meals they get are like meals they get at school.
Right, and it shouldn't be a shame. I mean, I know it's different a little bit now. Like at least when our kids went to school, the kids that got free lunches and stuff didn't necessarily have, you know, like for us when we were, I don't know if you guys remember, maybe it was just my school, but it felt like you had this special card you had to use and everybody knew that you were poor.
Yeah, or you went to a different free lunch.
Yeah, you went to a different line. Yeah, and it was just almost
very
ostracizing.
Shame. Very ostracizing.
Yes, and embarrassing for kids. So they would sometimes prefer not to even just eat if that was the case. So, I mean, other countries do it. I mean, they give free lunches. My daughter's in, you know, teaching in Japan, and she's a teacher, and she gets free lunches there. That's just part of what they do.
Basic nutrition should just not be something that people are deprived of.
Hello. No. Yeah. I mean, we have the kids there during the lunchtime. I also think that they should have breakfast there for kids. You know, it's studies done that they need to have something to eat before their brain starts working. So
capitalism.
I don't care. Right. Yeah. I mean, I know people are like, who's going to pay for it? Yeah. I don't know. Who's going to pay for these kids?
You're coming to my textiles. Yeah. I want to feed any of those goddamn kids.
Yeah, let them die.
They're not my fucking kids. I don't want to feed them.
Fuck you.
The party
feed the
of
children. Anyway, thank you, Cuyahoga Falls School Board, for being so responsive.
Yes.
And being willing to reverse your decisions. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Well, and your Ohio State Board of Education is also considering a resolution that says that the state legislature will use American Rescue Plan Act funds to provide free lunch and free breakfast to Ohio students.
That'll
help. And then next year, any families on Medicaid are also automatically qualified for the free and reduced lunches.
Which that should be. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Next, we talked about it a lot previous episodes. The official public hearing concerning the designated outdoor refreshment area, also known as DORA, will be at this week's city council meeting at the Natatorium on Monday.
Well, that should be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to be folks that come and speak out against it. It'll be a lively one. Or maybe not. Maybe
sure there will. Pass. I mean, there have been, I've seen some of the negative comments about it or people talking against it or whatever, but.
You get an if bar, you need more drinking.
Yeah,
you get
not
drunk
as.
And you're going to cause fights. So fuck you, you idiot.
Yeah, it's
everyone's
not
getting the big FU today from Stephen.
How am I supposed to get a drink from one side of Front Street and go all the way down to Darby's on 59? I mean, if you're not going to let me go that far, it's on Front Street.
Oh, man.
They were included.
Most.
My understanding is that that's actually included in it, too.
Are you?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't think it went down to Darby's. I thought it stopped at Darby's.
I thought
it's you're crossing a whole
They could also make a second spot down there.
Yes.
Oh, come
you would have to divide it.
One here.
Although then, there are. There's Darby's. There's MacArthur's.
And then
Chelsea's.
Chelsea's.
So there's like four or five businesses right in that little patch too. But I don't know. They're not walking around downtown and spending their dollars downtown and interacting. And so,
yeah,
I hope it passes smoothly.
Yeah, they have it in Kent. They just got it in Kent. It works fantastically. And and I think they have it in Hudson, too.
Hudson has it.
And they obviously don't have any problems with any more problems than they ever had before.
Yep.
Right.
You know,
and then the city can shut it down for special events, too.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the thing, too. You know, it's and any of the festivals that go on, they can kill it, but.
Yeah, so they're talking about killing it for the festivals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Why would they kill it for the festivals?
Because all the vendors that are selling beer lose out.
They don't want
anybody going into a restaurant getting a cup and walking out because they would be confused with different liquor licenses and all that crap. And,
oh, gotcha.
Because they're special. Most of the festivals are special events, and you get a special liquor license permit for that special event.
Okay.
Yes.
So
then you don't want to have two in conflict.
Yeah.
Because Ohio law.
Damn control state.
So if you're looking to put your food scraps to good use, the city has partnered with Rubber City Reuse to provide discounted composting services to local residents and businesses. Customers who sign up at rubbercityreuse.com will get a 5-gallon sealed bucket for drop-off or pickup services and will get the option to receive a 1/4 cubic yard of compost each year delivered to them. All in all, this will help prevent nearly 30% of waste from going to landfills and be more eco-conscious.
Mike and I were talking about that, and I think we might actually sign up for it.
Recycled food.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Soylent green.
I remember.
People's.
When my parents, they would have like a bucket that they would put underneath their sink, and we would put like food scraps and things like that they would do and kind of make their own little like compost kind of thing. I want to try it for gardening. And I mean, I don't know how much is 0.25 cubic yards? I don't know. Is that a lot?
It's 1/4 of a cubic yard.
I love you so much.
Oh my God. Where the mansplainer erupts.
Yeah.
Boo.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of like, how much would that spread through? Like, that would be a good, yeah.
Correctile.
I saw that on interwebs.
Would that cover like a small?
Google it, Suzanne. Come on, girl.
I can't. I'm too tired. It's too early in the morning. I'm gonna do it right now. Okay, Google.
We have the house we bought from my dad does not have a garbage disposal. It's the first house I've had since I've had an apartment when I was like 21. It didn't have a garbage disposal, which is weird. Usually I put all my scraps down the garbage disposal. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have like a 1 horsepower that just grinds anything.
Yeah.
We do that. And also sometimes I'll throw my waste like next to my garage. I have this one section. I just kind of put it all back there and it gets eaten. The animals come out and they'll eat it. And so they recycle the food.
They do. But if we can actually contain it and get something out of it, I think it's a good idea. I definitely, we'll probably sign up. We'll let you know how it goes.
Is 6.75 cubic feet. Sorry, Jen, I stole your thunder.
That means nothing to me.
It's 50 U.S. liquid gallons. It's 50 gallons.
No, 5,049 U.S. liquid gallons.
50.49.
Oh.
That's for 25 cubic feet. Put a point.
I think for a backyard gardener, that's a pretty decent size.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You figure, I think those bags, like a usual bag of mulch is like 2 cubic feet.
It's 12,926.3 tablespoons.
Oh, that's helpful. That does help me understand how much.
I'm going to measure mine next time I get it. That's a lot of scooping.
Well, you're mixing that with soil and things like that. So it's not like, I mean, that's a lot.
Or you can make a tea with it, you know, do like a compost tea when you're doing your watering. So, I mean, there's plenty of uses. I mean, that's a fair amount.
Yeah,
I mean, you figure that's 2 to 3 bags.
Imperial cups.
Oh, Imperial cups.
Oh, Imperial.
Oh, yeah. That's how.
As Darth Vader comes in.
Sorry. Okay.
Back to the round table.
Sorry.
Muting.
Sorry.
That was impressive.
I wish I could do a better fucking Chewbacca.
Oh boy. And it is the bee reveal for people.
That was good, Jen.
I'm gonna edit that out. You know it.
Oh, oh man.
It's gonna be another fucking ringtone.
Yeah. We should make those into ringtones and see if anybody will purchase them.
The spring cleanup will be running from May 1st to 12th for trash customers.
Yay.
You can place anything except hazardous items such as tires, car parts, large amounts of construction material, and hazardous waste at the curb for collection on your pickup day free of charge. And this also does not include computers and stuff like that. Also, sure to not get trash, wood chips, dirt, rocks, mulch, or plastic bags in your yard waste.
What about regular customers? Because you put down for trash customers. Well, they got to be trash customers.
Oh, gosh.
You didn't say
what about
trash
your normal
customers? On the sidebar, I don't know why this particular post caught my eye, but it's called the River Rat Revelry at the annual gathering of Friends of the Crooked River. So that's Tuesday, April 18th, this week. Doors open at 6 p.m. You said the program starts at 7, and it's at Lions Lodge, 641 Silver Lake Avenue in the Falls. And the program is discussing updates on the Gorge Dam. So there's someone, Bill Zawiski from the Ohio EPA will be there. And
damn you!
Yeah, and they're also talking about breeding endangered species in the Cuyahoga watershed. So that's really cool. And folks from the Summit Metro Parks and the Geauga Park District and Cuyahoga Valley National Park will be there to talk about that. And also there's an update on the Brecksville Canal Pump Station, election results, and news and outings. So that's pretty cool. And I believe it's a potluck. Pizza will be served. And if you want to join the potluck, please bring a dish to share.
And then pump it up.
And featuring the acoustic blues of Paul Pira. Or Pyra, sorry. So it sounds like a fun program on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Entertainment, pizza.
Yeah, entertainment, pizza. Find out what's going on with Gorge Dam update.
Talk about some pumps, talk about some dams.
Yeah, so.
Oh, damn.
There you go.
Well, speaking of trash, the citywide Earth Day cleanup is happening next weekend, Saturday, April 22nd from 10 to 12.
Yay.
Volunteers will be able to clean up litter and debris at Bill Property, Highbridge Glens Park, Bab Run, Oak Park, Lions Park, Ross Park, Trails End Park, or Kaiser Park. Tools and supplies will be provided, and you can sign up as a volunteer at the city's website.
Very nice.
Groovy.
Drug Take Back Day is happening next Saturday as well, from 10 to 2, at the rear entrance of the police station. Unused and expired medications may be dropped off there at this time, or any time in the drug disposal box inside the lobby.
Yeah, don't flush your meds, guys. We don't want to make any fish have five eyes.
Mm. Four eyes is a respectable amount.
Yes. I have four eyes, so that's cool. Right. But five, no. Yeah, you're going to be ostracized.
When are the fish starting wearing glasses? When did that start?
What was that little fish with Don, not Don Ricketts. It was the,
Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Yes, that. There you go. He wore glasses, right?
Yes. It was Don Knotts.
Don Knotts. Yes.
But he's a cartoon fish.
Still a fish, buddy.
Trying to think of the three-eyed fish from The Simpsons.
If you've ever considered a fire service career, registration is now open for The Forge.
Michael? The Forge.
Yeah, no. I'm too old for that shit.
The Forge? You would love that.
Well, candidates ages 18 to 41 will be provided.
Never mind.
Will be
and
provided.
There's your answer right there. No oldies allowed.
I just
damn, that's
the part,
ageism.
That's sorry. I just dressed the part.
Oh,
most people
bummer.
Over 41 don't want to do that job.
No.
That's true.
Or go through that training.
True. Yeah. That is so true.
Candidates will be provided mental and physical challenges while being rewarded with interview practice, fire service introduction, physical conditioning, teamwork, and leadership skills.
Well, Mike would immediately be eliminated with the mental challenges. So there you go.
I have my own mental challenges. I'm good.
He comes with his own.
Yes.
Only 25 individuals will be selected with an end goal of becoming part of the Cuyahoga Falls Fire Department.
That would be so fun for the youngins. I guess we're old. We can't participate. But.
Old.
Registration ends on May 15th, and you can go to the city's website to sign up.
I think Bart is the only one that's able to do it. So
And I am not physically able to do it.
Oh, you got to do it. Nope.
Nope. You're the only one of this podcast that can do it. So take one for the team. Go do it.
Hit the gym for about a year. Pretty steady, just any of us, in order just to be able to do anything, even consider doing anything.
Like yeah, with weightlifting regimen.
Train just to, before you can train.
Just to watch them to do it. We have to train even to watch them do it.
Well, I don't know about that, but we definitely all have to train. It'd be American Ninja style.
Yeah.
I can't even walk from one end of a grocery store to the other without my ankles giving through. Oh.
And that's one of the reasons why the age is 41 max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only have 2 years, and it would take you that long to get.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Gear up, Cuyahoga Falls residents. You're invited to a behind-the-scenes tour of the city's operations.
Yay.
Learn how the city gears up every day. From the water department to park maintenance, the electric and police department, sanitation, and the fire department. If you sign up and attend all 6 events, you'll receive a certified city scholar designation by Mayor Walters and be recognized at a reception in November.
This is so cool.
Yeah, this is limited to the first 50 people who register. So, you know,
get on
the city's website and sign up.
Which is www.cityofcf.com.
You get to see behind the curtain, the wonderful Wizard of the Falls.
Oh, ooh. My God. See, that was good.
Very nice.
That one was bottled up. He couldn't wait to blab that one out. Nice job, hon.
I could tell he was like getting kind of like giggly and smiley. Like, come on, guys.
He was leaning forward to bust in.
Yep.
Nice.
Good one.
Cuyahoga Falls Paddle Fest is coming up on April 29th. Focusing on whitewater paddling in the gorge, with other locations at Tinker's Creek, East and West Falls, Black River, the Lower Gorge, and the trail, all dependent on how the water is flowing. There will also be local vendors set up in the Sheraton parking lot.
I really wish
this is different than the Cuyahoga Falls
race,
right? Yes. Which is now it's called Falls Fest or something like that.
Well, that's what this is. This is
okay.
Whitewater paddling, so it's probably all lumped in, but it's just so cold.
Same event.
Technically the name is Cuyahoga Falls Fest, but
okay.
But I believe the kayak race is different.
It is different, but they did call it Cuyahoga Falls, the Falls Fest or something like that. That's what it's called now.
I don't know.
Pretty sure.
You got a week to find out. 2 weeks. 2 weeks to find out.
The Upper Gorge is going to be the primary paddle location, and then the secondary location is depending on how the water flows. And but it's saying that it says kayaking is our passion, and we give our time willingly to promote the sport.
Maybe they're just trying to expand it.
It is April 29th. The upper part's going to be at the Sheraton Suites, like always.
Yeah. So that's where it's mainly focused on. And speaking of water, early bird specials on Waterworks season passes are available right now at the Natatorium and the city's website. You can save up to 20% if you buy them before April 30th.
Nice.
Next, the city of Cuyahoga Falls has partnered with Building for Tomorrow's Connect Home Digital Inclusion Project, Akron Metropolitan Housing Authority, and the Woodridge Local Schools to provide Wi-Fi-enabled devices and no-cost internet service to underserved communities in the Falls. This will impact 139 children and 590 adults living in the Ray Sutliff Building, Honey Locust Apartments, and the Lobella Lane Apartments. The total cost of the project is going to be about $162,000, with the city's portion of a little more than $86,000 funded through CDBG program. So
very
the Community
cool.
Development Block Grant Program.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful. I mean, technology, the kids have to, you can't do really, schoolwork a lot of times if you don't have, the right technology anymore. So that's
nice
great.
That. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go Cuyahoga Falls.
Go Cuyahoga Falls.
Yay. Yay.
And that's his approval.
And finally, Parks and Rec is holding a mom prom on May 5th at 6:30 p.m. Moms and sons can celebrate Mother's Day with dancing at the Downtown Pavilion. Tickets are $12 and include dinner, dancing, photo booth, and a treat bag for the boys.
Aw, that's super cute. That's
right. You didn't take No One Gabe?
No One Gabe, no. I won't be taking No One Gabe. But for all those little ones out there who want to dance with their mommy and get a treat bag.
very nice.
But so I want a treat bag.
The only thing that I will say about that is that maybe they should open it up to daughters too.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Moms might want to take their daughters to dances too.
Well, they might have a separate event for that. Who knows? I'm sure they have a
I know they have a daddy daughter dance.
Yeah.
Daddy daughter dance. They have a mom son dance, but they should have a mommy daughter dance. Yeah.
Should be equal opportunity, mommy daddy.
100%. Yeah. Parent child dance.
Or even they them.
Oh boy.
I think it should be a parent child dance. So.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. The my two cents. But I think it's a good thing and I like it. So, but.
Mom prom. Parent prom also goes.
Parent prom. Yeah. I'm sure Parks and Rec is listening to this and will take my opinion under consideration.
Oh, will they?
You can't change it if you don't try.
That's right.
Your voice will be added to the collective.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right into this round, circular kind of
receptacle with a lid.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. I was thinking more like a cube, but you know,
the Borg cube.
It could be a cube. Yes. Yeah. Hey guys, guess what time it is?
What time is it, Suzanne?
Bart's Arts.
There it is.
Ooh, that was good. That was the best one yet. Yeah.
It's a little chewy.
Woo. Oh, jeez.
So the Junks Building will be hosting Millennial Theater Project on Wednesday, May 10th at 7 p.m. for Say It Loud, an intimate performance.
Say It Loud. Sorry, I had to do it.
No, you're good.
Wow.
An intimate performance based on the lived experience of Ohio residents. This is a free event.
You know, the Jenks Building has a lot of stuff going on. I'm really glad that they came into our city. Friday. What's that?
We were just there Friday.
Yeah?
It's just as busy and hopping and diverse and eclectic as it always is.
They have a cool art show in the basement.
They have a super cool art show.
It's very nice.
What show is in the basement right now?
I thought it's like, isn't it like an Edgar Allan Poe show or something? Yeah,
it was something like that. There were some cool mixed media pieces.
Yeah,
that
a ton of different artists.
Really? How long is that going to be going on for?
He said a couple months.
Yeah, he said several months.
Oh, we'll have to take the kids to that.
And that coffee shop's real nice in there too now. We have not gone to that.
Yada, yada.
We still haven't. Yada, yada. We walked in, but they were closed. Yeah,
it's.
Oh, okay.
It smelled so good.
It did smell good.
Yeah,
we got there and they were still open, and then we walked around and then they had closed by the time we walked over. And
yeah,
a bummer.
Yeah,
no, I'm always seeing they're doing different things, having music, art, all this different stuff in there that, you know, they are just really they're a gem in the city. I'm glad that they decided to set up shop. How long ago has that been? Years. It's been a few years since they've been open.
This is our third year.
Yeah. Third year. And it's a really awesome place. If you haven't been, I would highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
It's a jewel. Jennifer and I have met some people in Cleveland that live in Cleveland, and they've ever been to the Jenks. As soon as I heard the falls, they knew about the Jenks. Yeah, we've been there a couple times. The place is amazing.
Then they mentioned Bart's dad. And I'm like, oh, do you know? Yeah. And I was like,
I started talking about the Tiki Underground.
They said,
oh, you know Thomas Sullivan? Oh, yeah, of course we know Thomas Sullivan. I don't think anybody doesn't know Thomas Sullivan in the Falls. Everyone knows who he is.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Who?
For good or bad.
Yeah, true.
Hey, Bart, you ever heard of that guy?
Doesn't ring a bell.
No, he makes them and welds them together.
Oh, is that what he does?
Yeah, doesn't ring a bell.
I have not had enough coffee to get that one. I finally got it now. Okay.
Ding.
Oh, Lordy. We should say that we are coming to you a little bit earlier than we normally do. So the coffee has not kicked in.
No.
If you've ever wanted to learn how to follow every yes with an and.
No.
Now's your chance.
No.
Point of No Return Improv is having auditions this Wednesday, April 19th. At 6:30 p.m. at the Center for Applied Theater and Active Culture in Akron.
Shouldn't it be Point of Yes Return?
What does that mean? They're doing auditions to do.
They're doing auditions. They're doing auditions for this year's group.
Awesome.
So every year they have auditions for bring new people in.
Oh really?
Do they make the old people come back? So maybe they're maybe return instead of like no return or yes return. It's maybe return.
Oh, geez.
So.
See what you did there.
That one actually took me a minute, too.
Awful.
If you want to participate in this local Quagga Falls troupe, you know, join their auditions this week.
Do you have to sing and dance?
There is not dancing per se, but they do have multiple games that involve singing, but you don't have to be able to sing.
Okay, good, because I can't. Well, I do the Bart song. Maybe I could go and audition with the Bart's art song, because
yeah, do it, because that's art.
Cuyahoga Falls treasure, I have to say.
I agree. So, it just gets better and better every week.
It really does. It really does.
Next, Free Comic Book Day is coming up on May 6th at JC Comics and Anime. They'll be celebrating, as always, probably opening up earlier than usual that Saturday. So,
yay!
Comic book geeks rejoice.
Unite.
Yes. And every year he always has sales on different stuff at the shop. So you can go in and get free stuff and then, you know, pick up some stuff that you normally don't have the money for.
This is totally off subject. When did he change his name to JC Comics and Anime?
That was within the last month or two.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So speak our beloved comic book geek.
Yeah. He's always had like anime figures, but he started getting in a lot more books, manga, and it was just like, you know what? Let's just change the name.
Maybe we should go check this out. There might be some stuff there for my dad or Kendall or something.
Shit, I haven't been there since he was on Portage Trail when he first opened up.
Wow.
Way back when.
It's been at least a year now. Last time I went was he called me to make sure that I was okay. And
I
hadn't come in for a while.
That's a live service right there.
That is nice. Yeah.
And finally, the Cuyahoga Falls All City Art Walk is this week.
Yay!
I will share this photo in the show notes. Hopefully it comes out. I don't know. I've never actually shared a photo in the show notes before. We'll find out. Yeah. There are many different guest artists and events happening, including artist Meryl Angler. I don't know what these artists do. I'm just looking at the list of things. So you will have to go there to find out.
They'll be making some form of art.
Yes. There will be make and take transportation inspired crafts at the library. You'll be able to meet artist Bill Starcher at the City Hall, participate in an Akron Jones Museum activity at First Christian Church. You will meet artist Rhea Faba at Upfront Art Space and be able to make a wire bicycle.
Bicycle.
I like to ride my bicycle. I like to ride my bike. Bicycle.
Got everyone off track.
Sorry,
Bart.
You can stop at the tent outside Cuyahoga Valley Art Center for free hair decoration and face painting.
Hair decoration.
Oh Michael, just jam that out.
Yep.
Get out the Sharpie.
There will be giant art puppets walking around the riverfront.
Oh, no. No.
Clowns.
Mm-mm.
Like, are they clowns and marionettes?
I imagine they're marionettes.
We should do that on
mushrooms.
Because
if there's somebody holding a puppet upwards,
we can take some mushrooms and go to this.
Really, really tall person.
That would have to be.
Or they could do it off the parking deck. They could do it off the parking decks. You know, they could do the puppeteering off the parking deck over there.
No.
Like 40 foot long wires and
yeah, why not?
That'd be pretty cool.
That actually would be kind of fun to watch, yes. But no, if they're walking around like, you know, normal people, no, that's not okay. No. Freak me out.
They're doing it.
Also downtown there will be a mini derby car presentation made by the 5th grade students at Preston Elementary.
Nice.
You can take a photo at the train station.
Ooh.
Make a parachute and watch it fly with a small surprise inside.
Sounds is this cool. For kids or can we come? Are we able to participate in this stuff?
I mean, technically, it's all city.
It's for everyone. It's all
okay.
City. So it's for everyone. It's interactive and
train station.
Yeah.
Is it just so this is a pretend train station?
Yeah, they probably build.
I am gathering so.
Okay,
yeah.
I was gonna say, when do they put a train station in?
Yeah. As part of the art show.
Yeah. Temporary. Rain the tracks and everything.
The Clifford Car Museum was going to be open during the show, so you can stop in and check out that.
That's a cool place.
I
would totally check
there.
It out if they had Clifford the Big Red Dog, but.
Oh.
There might be.
You never know. There is so much stuff going on.
Even take a photo in the hot air balloon photo op. So.
Is the hot air balloon up or is it on the ground?
Depends on the photo op. Maybe they have it. Maybe have the. up.
I don't know. It's full of hot air, though.
That's at the First Christian Church location.
Oh, man. We need, like, adult supervision is what we need.
This is a long one.
But we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week, and we want to thank Danielle for speaking with us also. So stick around for that interview right after this.
Yes, thank you for talking to us.
It'll be a two-hour ride for you.
Yeah. Mm. Remember that we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, for things to put in the newspaper or on the show. You can shout those all out to us at our email.
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
Plus, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed what you heard. But for now, we'll say goodbye and hope you join us next time.
Adios.
Bye.
Doodly doodly do.
Later.
On this week's show, we have two Danielles. We have Danielle Sawat. I know I'm Danielle, I'm pronouncing your name wrong.
Nope, you got it. That's
all
it.
Good.
Yeah.
So we have Danielle Sawat from Shelf Life Books, and then we have Danielle Welling from Cuyahoga Falls Library. Thank you guys for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. This is really great.
I know, it's like a tale of two Danielles here.
I know, this is kind of going around when I'm talking to the local authors now. When I reference Danielle, they're like, well, are you doing a taking yourself out of your body? And I'm like, no, I'm talking about Danielle at the library.
Or call me DW. Like,
yeah, I like it.
So to start off, can you introduce yourselves and tell a little bit about yourself and either in Shelf Life and the library?
Yeah. Would you like me to go first?
Go
whichever
for it.
One.
Okay. So my name is Danielle Sawat. I am the owner of Shelf Life. It's a small used bookstore downtown Cuyahoga Falls. The primary goal of Shelf Life is to provide low cost, no cost reading. So most of the books in the store are $1 each. I do highlight local authors in the store. Those are some of the only books that are actually more than $1. The authors set their own retail price. And I do have a case of sets or higher values, but nothing over 25. And that's pretty much it. That's Shelf Life in a nutshell.
Awesome. Well, I guess I'm up next. So I am the other Danielle, DW, Danielle Welling. I'm the marketing and PR manager here at Cuyahoga Falls Library. So I promote all of the library's collections and resources and programming here, which keeps me pretty busy because we've got a lot going on. And we're excited to be a part of LitFest this year.
And speaking of, that's the reason I have both of you on the show this week. The second annual local LitFest went from being a short one-day event downtown last year, and now it's a two-day event with workshops at the library. So what is the LitFest, and why is it being moved to the library this year?
So the LitFest, for anyone that's been into Shelf Life, you already know that it's a very small store. For anyone that may not have been, it's a very small store. It's about 360 square feet. It's in a basement. It's one room. There's not a whole lot of space to do normal bookstore events. So last year, as the store continued to collect gratefully local authors, it became a sort of pressing need to highlight them more and be able to offer local author signings, which is very difficult to do in that space. So last year, Shelf Life used the pavilion downtown for like a sort of one-day event where all of the authors came in and were in one place and the community could come in and kind of meet everyone at the same time. So it was similar to like a small convention in a way that was just basically for like local authors and local literacy efforts. One of the things last year that some of the questions that surrounded it were other authors or other soon to be authors or soon to be published authors were coming into the store and asking about, you know, are you going to have any resources for people like me that maybe I'm starting to write my book. I'm getting close to the end. I don't know how to publish. I don't know what my next steps are, or I could just use some help with writing in general. So almost right as the last local Lit Fest ended, the desire to expand it to offer more for authors in general and in the community in terms of writing became, you know, necessary. That's also a part of local authorship. So, you know, having a second day, a day before where we could do workshops and presentations was something that I started to look at. So I could have rented the pavilion for 2 days, which would have been great, but having added on these things meant it a whole lot more work. And I just kind of felt like, let me reach out to the library because they're amazing and generous and see if, you know, maybe we could do this together this year and provide, you know, just something more expansive, kind of a little bit, the sky's the limit in a way. And I was extremely fortunate that the library is just so amazing and said yes. So that is, yeah, that's kind of how we got from a 1 day event to 2 days.
And what days is the Lit Fest happening?
It's going to be April 28th and 29th, which is a Friday and Saturday. The 28th is going to be all of the writing workshops and the writer's social. And then the 29th is the main event where everyone can come in and meet the local authors and enjoy those festivities.
What kind of workshops are going to be available for people to register for on Friday?
Yeah, I can take this one. So Danielle, we've been working with her to line up some of her authors and to provide these workshops and the authors she sells in her store and others that we found that offer really good workshops and programming. So we're going to have one on submitting your poetry for publication. And then a second workshop is going to be So You Want to Write a Book. And then finally, our final workshop is going to be character-driven writing, which that one, it's looking like it's going to be pretty popular. So make sure to register before it fills up. But then we're also going to have, we're really excited about this one, a writer's social from 6 to 7 on Friday evening. So that's going to be basically an open time for writers of all abilities. You know, if you're just starting your novel or you're published or you've published multiple books. So to come meet, network with other writers and just share resources and kind of build that community. We know that writing can be such an individual sport, right? You're kind of alone and you're kind of trying to crank this out and figure it out yourself, but sometimes you need to get out there with other people and share tips and resources. So that's really what we're hoping will come out of the Writer's Social.
Wonderful. I'm definitely going to the Writer's Social. I've already made plans as soon as I get off work.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that one's going to be really fun. I'm excited. And I get a lot of feedback from the local authors at the store about how to do this, or everyone kind of does something different. So hopefully it's a really good turnout. I can see a lot of nice resource sharing happening there and good connections being made.
What are some of the local authors that are going to be there with their work?
Well, we're over 15 now. I think approaching maybe 17. I've got the list in front of us, but a couple highlights that jump out to me. We're going to have authors basically from all genres that might appeal to, you know, different age groups. There's going to be children's authors to adult authors to young adult authors. We even have a local comic coming, Daniel Gorman. So we're excited about that, trying to branch out into other areas of reading because comics and graphic novels are reading, like they shouldn't be diminished. So we want to make sure to represent that genre and other local favorites like Jim Woods, Trisha Miller. We on the library, we've worked with previously Mindy McGinnis. She's an Edgar Award-winning young adult author. She's done a program here with us before, and she's fantastic. She has several books for young adults, kind of suspenseful, bordering on horror. And she's going to do a special presentation for us on Saturday at 2 p.m., so you won't want to miss that one.
So some of the local authors, we have a few poets that are going to be there, Barbara Marie Minnie, Barbara Sable, Dylan Stover, and then we have some children's book authors, Megan Higgins, Amanda Kowalski, Michael Hayes, Sharon Myers will be there. She's a local favorite. She is a local historian. She has several books that are very popular at the store. Olive Persimmon is also, she's going to be doing one of the workshops the day before. Greg Sheets, who's new to the store, he has a very colorful, beautiful children's book. And Susan Bagby will be there as well. But yeah, Jim Woods, he is a huge Shelf Life supporter. He'll have probably an article coming out about the Lit Fest as well. But yeah, we have a lot. It's going to be really wonderful.
Well, I know Jim is a huge library supporter as well. So
Yeah, and the idea is we want to have these authors kind of spread out throughout the library. So it's kind of an exploration. So you can meet the local authors and kind of browse the library books as well, and just kind of make your way through the library and explore. You know, the children's authors will be on our lower level near our children's department, and the adult authors will be kind of upstairs and spread out a bit. So you'll get to really take in the whole atmosphere of the library, which is, I feel like, is another advantage of having it at the library. It's just, who doesn't want to be surrounded by books all day? I mean, that's why we're here, you know?
And that was about leading into what I was just about to ask, you know, what do you hope people will get from coming to the Lit Fest this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's last year it was 100% positive feedback from the authors, from the guests that came out. And so I'm just hoping for the same thing again, but just even more of that. I'm excited about the whole thing, but I'm really excited about the children's books reading and then having it down. The children's department at the library is just absolutely beautiful. It's just such a great setup. So I'm really excited. You probably find me there. Like, if you're looking for me during the Lit Fest, if there's a reading going on, just come down to the kids section. I'm probably huddled in the back hiding and listening to the stories. So that is something I'm really excited about. And that last year, for the people that did come out, the pavilion is a great venue, but it's very loud because the ceilings are so high. So it's a little difficult to hear. So that's going to be one of the really great improvements this year is the for the local author. For the adult readings and for the children's readings, you're going to be able to hear, and it's just going to be a much better experience, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I really hope that the people that come will be inspired to read and write. You know, Maybe there's someone out there who's had an idea for a story or a book, but they've maybe didn't know where to start or been too intimidated to write it. So I hope that they'll look around at these local authors and say, you know, if they can do it, I can do it too. You know, we're all just people, and we can do these things if we put our minds to them.
I like that. Yeah.
Are there any other programs lined up at Shelf Life in the future other than the Lit Fest?
I have some things that I'm working on. I'm not quite ready yet to kind of announce, but I am going to start to try to do, even though the Lit Fest is necessary, I'm going to try and do some local author or signings at the store and just sort of pace it out throughout the day. Jim Woods has agreed to try it out with me. So after the Lit Fest, I'm going to kick one of those off, probably do one a month or maybe, you know, bi-monthly. And those will kind of correlate also with potentially the fundraisers that are happening at the store. And then I'm looking to bring in some more like local artist pop-ups to just sort of have something, you know, close to every weekend. But I'm going to try it out in the small space and kind of navigate from there. But yeah, so other things coming, announcements pending for now.
And I did see you are, depending on what donations you get, you're starting to sell DVDs as well.
Yeah. That kind of worked the same as puzzles. I got a lot of people that wanted to bring them in, and it's such a frequent question that I thought I have space. They're small. They don't take up nearly the same space as books. So I just put them out and I just this week. So, and people are looking, I got a nice sizable donation this morning that came in, and it's just better than throwing things away, you know? So yeah. Whatever else I can cram into that space. On April 22nd, from 11 to 5, this is a Saturday, April 22nd, from 11 to 5 is free book day. This is something that I've been trying to do every other month. These are excess books that come in. Either they're maybe a little bit damaged, they have library binding, books that I wouldn't normally sell, or they're special interest, and all of those books go out on that day that are free for the taking. So we skip the recycle bin, hundreds of books go out that are shelved, and then most of those books come and get picked up. So little free library stewards, if you go to a church or if you work for a facility that could use these books, you know, I have somebody that actually brings a suitcase for them. I bring your own bag or boxes and come by and kind of help like keep these books in circulation because they still have reading life left.
And then that just makes more room for things that come into the store.
Yeah,
to reach more people.
It does. And that's, and I have, you know, limited storage space. So it's very helpful to me. I, you know, I do have to sell some books to kind of keep the lights on there. So it's really, it's kind of one hand washes the other. So come and, you know, come by and get some free books. It is a very busy day. There is usually a wait. And for no one that has been to the store before, there are stairs to get in and out. There's only one entrance there. And visual walking directions are actually on the website at shelflifebookstore.com for anybody that needs some help finding it.
Absolutely wonderful. And for the library, what kind of programs can we expect in the next couple months?
Yeah, we've got a lot coming up. We're trying some new things. We have some new programs on our belt. We're doing a story time for English language learners. There's another one coming up on April 20th. And then after that, it'll be every other week through May. So we're really want to be welcoming to everyone in our community. We're having lots of immigrants and refugees, and you know, this is their library too. And so we want to support them. So it's really going to be for the little guys, you know, up to 5 years old and their caregiver, and it's going to be fun songs and stories in English to help get some practice in, and real simple songs, you know, like think head, shoulders, knees, and toes, you know, things that are not only fun for the kids, but also kind of educational, and gets that opportunity to practice and become more comfortable. We're also starting a new book club called the Next Chapter Book Club. So the library has been working with Summit DD on inclusivity training, and this is just another step into helping make our library a more welcoming place for everyone and all abilities. So in this book club, teens and adults, they're going to be invited to read together and socialize. New readers are welcome, and we're going to provide a variety of reading material at each session. And so that group is going to meet every other week in April and May. And then, of course, the summer reading program right after Lit Fest, a month after Lit Fest, on the last day of school, the summer reading program will start on Friday, May 26th.
I didn't realize it was that soon.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming, Bart.
time goes by so fast. And we're doing a fundraiser for the library in May. So yes, That'll be also something to kind of keep an eye out for.
Yeah, gotta visit Shelf Life and
another raffle. Yeah.
Okay, so the last time you were on the show, Danielle, we already talked to you, and I know that your favorite author is Kurt Vonnegut.
Yes, still. Forever. Still.
Good. So, DW, what is your favorite author or authors?
Oh, that's such a tough question. It's easier. I'm currently reading a novel called The Reading List by Sarah Nisha Adams. That one's pretty good. I mean, I can't pass up a book about books. Seems appropriate for this conversation, too. But for my teens and young adult friends, I will always recommend Jennifer Lynn Barnes. I love a good mystery, and she weaves such a good one that I can never predict her endings. And I'm just a sucker for a good mystery. So.
And for both of you, what has been your favorite local restaurant lately? We sort of try to ask everyone, you know, what their favorite restaurant in the Falls is. So I guess, what's your favorite restaurant lately?
That's really difficult because I'm vegan. So my options are really limited, but I will say this. I ate Rose Garden today and I love it. And for anyone that might also be vegan or plant-based, I would recommend, really for anyone, their menu is versatile for all needs, all dietary needs, but they are very knowledgeable at making exclusions for people. And the food is, I've never been disappointed. I would say it's kind of a toss up between Rose Garden and Shawarma Brothers on Portage Trail. So good. And I've only ever gotten one. What's that?
Where's Rose Garden?
Rose Garden is on State Road in the plaza. Between place, but near the Sunoco gas station or whatever that might be called now. Yeah, there's a little plaza between Broad and 19th, maybe.
Okay. What kind of food is it?
Oh, it's Indian. Sorry, it's Indian cuisine. Oh. And it's really good. Danielle, if you've not had, you could come over and we could have lunch.
We should do that. We should do that.
Yeah. I'll let you know next time I'm ordering.
Please do. Let's see. I've been eating at, I feel like I've been eating at El Maison on Portage Trail a lot lately. I mean, you can't go wrong with tacos, chips, and guac. So they never disappoint, and it's not too far from the library.
Yeah, that's what, at least within walking distance.
Yeah, definitely.
You could maybe there, but not on the way back. Get that full.
Right. You have to roll me down the street. Yeah. Yeah, and I need to go to the Blue Door. I've never been. I can't recommend it, but I just hear a lot of good things. I can get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been there since they opened for the evening hours, so I don't know what it's like anymore.
What about you, Bart?
Yeah.
Let me see. Lately, I would say Eddie's over on, I can't remember what road that's on.
Oakwood,
yeah. Yes. Right, yeah. Over by the high school.
Okay.
Good diner, breakfast food. I like,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, breakfast is usually their best, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm getting so many good dinner ideas now.
Yeah. I'd be hungry if I didn't just finish my leftovers from Rose Garden.
And is there anything else about the Lit Fest that, or the programming at the library this summer that you'd like everyone to know about?
Well, I maybe we could reiterate that everything is free. The workshops are free. We do have limited space, but there is still plenty of room to sign up. The second day, the main event is free to come in, free to enter the raffle. The local authors are selling their books, but everything else is totally free and open to the public. So I would like to reiterate that. Last year, I did have some questions on cost and kind of how that worked. And, we want you to come and enjoy it. That's it. We'll have some complimentary cookies from Kind Cakes while supplies last. I promise to stay away from that table so that supplies do last.
Yeah, come out. Tell your friends if you have writer friends, reader friends. You know, there's going to bring your kids. There's going to be a little bit of something for everyone. We're going to have, like we mentioned, the children's readings. We're going to have crafts. I mean, our staff is excellent. At making some awesome creation station crafts and making things interactive. And then if all else fails, you know, you can head over to the dollhouse or the train set and kids can hang out and you can sit there and read a book. Yeah.
Well, Danielle, thank you for being on the show this week. And what were the dates for the Lit Fest again?
Friday, April 28th is going to be our workshops. They start at 2:00, and then the library is going to, we're going to take a brief kind of dinner break while the library closes from like 4:45 to, and then about 5:30, the doors are going to reopen with our writer's social, and then we'll wrap up about 8:15 on Friday. Then Saturday, you can come anytime between 11 and 3 p.m. The presentation from Mindy McGinnis is going to be at 2. Other than that, we'll be releasing, you know, kind of a schedule for the rest of the readings and events on Saturday here pretty soon. So keep an eye out on our social media. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The library's at Falls Library. And Danielle, what's Shelf Life? I forget.
ShelfLifeBookstore.com.
Yeah. There you go. So keep an eye out.
Yes, absolutely. Well, again, thank you. And we'll see everybody next week.
Bye. Thank you. Thanks so much, Bart.
Thanks, Bart.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
Okay.